Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. We'll begin by listening to the ringing of the bell. We're glad that you were here on this night, this blessed Christmas Eve. And would you please stand for the opening prayer? Let's repeat this together. With joy and thanksgiving, we gather as your people. We have come to hear again the timeless story of Christ's birth. In the excitement of this night, quiet our hearts, that we may know the peace and fullness of this holy time. Shine, O light, in the darkness of our world. Sing, O angels, in the stillness of our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those God favors. This we pray in the name of the Child of Bethlehem. Amen. Let's continue with the call to worship. Glory to God in the highest. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men. Now we'll sing hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, on 234, and we're singing four verses, 1, 3, 4, and 6.
Joyful and triumphant, O come thee,
first reading tonight is Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 6. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Nebulon and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased the joy. They rejoice before you. As people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be the fuel of the fire. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. And now we are going to sing page 196, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And if there'd been a larger crowd, we were going to sing all the verses. But I think we're going to sing the first verse of every hymn. Verse 2, and then we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Now we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Scripture lesson is Luke 1, 26 to 35.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of your father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called holy." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thank you. The next reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Be not afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Our carol is number 238, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
You sound so wonderful.
Our next scripture is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through the first part of verse 5, and then 7 through 11. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." Continuing in verse 7. When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And when they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Our next carol is We Three Kings, number 254. Let's sing again. Many years ago, when I was a young pastor, and you can tell by looking at me, it was many years ago, on Christmas Eve services, at this point, I would bring a sermon. And I soon discovered that most people weren't in the mood for a sermon on this night, at this time. And I started what has become a tradition for me and the churches I serve, tell a story that somehow relates to Christmas and the celebration of Christmas. So I want to do that again this evening on this Christmas Eve. There is a song that Amy Grant did, I think, several years ago, and it captures in music and words the reason that the baby was born in Bethlehem. If I was a singer, I would sing this song for you, but I'm not a singer. So I want to read the words. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known. But long-awaited holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. World now breaking heaven's silence, welcome to our world. Fragile finger sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorn. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sin, make us holy, perfect Son of God. Welcome to our world. To really understand Christmas and to really understand what it's all about is to recognize the reason why he came. He came to live among us, to die for us, and redeem us, to be our Lord, and to be our Savior. And he did what no other could do for us. Harry Ironside, a preacher from many years back, liked to tell this story about Tsar Nicholas I of Russia. It seems that the Tsar had a good friend who asked him to provide a job for his son. Well, the Tsar honored the request, and he appointed the man's son as paymaster for a barracks in the Russian army. However, it turned out it was not a good appointment. The son was not a very honest man. He was weak, and he gambled away all or nearly all the money that had been entrusted to him. And then word came that the auditors were going to examine the records. And when he found out, when the young man found out, he was despairing, knowing that he would be found out for what he had done. So he sat down and he calculated all that he owed. And it was a huge debt, greater than he could ever begin to pay. So he determined that night, the night before the auditors arrived, that he would take a gun, commit suicide at midnight. Before he went to bed, he got out some paper and he wrote a full confession listing all that he had stolen and then writing underneath it these words, "A great debt, who can pay? A great debt, who can pay?" He was tired and he was weary and he fell asleep. And it seems that the Tsar had a habit of every once in a while visiting the barracks. And so, as was his custom to occasionally do so, he came to the barracks and he saw that the light was on in the quarters where this young man slept. And so he went, and he opened the door, and he looked in, and he saw the letter of confession next to the man. He read the letter, and he instantly understood what had happened. He paused for a moment, and he considered the punishment that he would impose. And then he bent over, and he wrote one word on the paper, and then he left. Eventually, the young man woke up, and he realized that he had slept past midnight. Then, taking his gun, he prepared to kill himself when he noticed that someone had written something on the ledger. Under his words, "A great debt, who can pay?" He wrote, or he saw, what had been written. The word, the name, Nicholas. He was dumbfounded. He was terrified when he realized that the Tsar knew what he had done. And checking his records, he found out that the signature was genuine. And finally, it settled into his mind that the Tsar knew the whole story, willing to pay the debt for him. Resting on the words of his commander-in-chief, he went back to sleep, and the next morning, a messenger came from the palace with the exact amount of money that the man owed. Only the Tsar could pay, and the Tsar did pay. John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The literal translation is that he pitched his tent among us. He lived here for 33 years. He taught us, and then he went to the cross, and he died for us. A great debt he paid, a debt that no one else could pay. He did it all for us. The poet, I think, gave the perfect and best response to the coming of Christ. She wrote, "What shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What shall I give him? I'll give him my heart." Heavenly Father, this holy night, as we remember the great debt you have paid for us through your Son, allow us to give to you. Allow us to give our hearts and our lives and our wills to you now and always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we are going to light our candles, and I want to remind you that as you light your candle, take the candle that is unlit and put it to the candle that is already lit. And in so doing, it helps us not to spill as much wax as we might. I'm going to ask the lights begin to be dimmed, and then we will bring the flame to each of you. going to ask that the lights be returned to the sanctuary. And that you carefully extinguish your candles. And now I invite you to sing our last carol, is Joy to the World, 246. We'll sing all the verses again. As you leave this sanctuary, may God go with you, and may the joy, the peace, and the love of Christmas be yours now and always. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.